Rave Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fun-filled factual world of technology, automation, audio, video, and fun goodness to make your nerd speak silly and fulfilled. This is Johnny. I'm your AV Insider, the host of the show, of the Rave Publications. As always, I have a special guest. Today it's going to be Itai Bengal, the CEO of On Controls. But before I bring on the show, I'd like to thank the sponsor. They keep the lights on here in my little undisclosed location, Northern California, where it's currently a little too warm for my own good. Ingram Micro, they are the world's largest technology distributor, delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. If you go over to IngramMicro.com, you can check out all the products that they offer that maybe you are currently using and or haven't thought of using. But if you go there, you can check them out, tell them I said hi, and they'll probably hook you up. As I mentioned, Itai, he's the CEO of On Controls. Itai, thank you for taking the time tonight to be on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Hey, so you have this really cool company that I'm constantly hearing about that in terms of automation and controls, I mean, On Controls, that's the name of the company, isn't necessarily the average setup. It sounds like it must be, it's a bit easier in terms of controlling things, is what I'm hearing.
Yes. So when we started the company, I was looking for a solution that you could deploy that could be flexible enough for basically all the types of systems that I wanted to control. Mainly started with my own home theater. Okay. And evolved from there. But also with the pace of new devices coming out all the time on the market, it became very obvious that a lot of integrators especially were struggling with cheaper and cheaper devices, you know, a Blu-ray player for $100. But to integrate that same Blu-ray player would cost them, you know, half a dozen hours of work, and the customer would see a $1,000 bill for adding, you know, a relatively simple device. So we were looking for a way to give the integrator the flexibility to deliver amazing solutions, but at the same time, keeping it simple enough for them where they could still make money on it so that not only they could be profitable in their business, but also that the customer could get something that they could afford.
You mean you don't want to charge the customer $10,000 to add a Blu-ray player to the system that only costs them $100?
Well, you know, I mean, nothing against those systems, but what we found is that the integrators are able to do really well when the control system isn't the most expensive thing in the system.
Right.
And we've all seen it. You know, TVs, amazing TVs are, you know, almost a tenth the price that they used to be just a handful of years ago. You know, AV receivers, speakers, everything's getting cheaper and cheaper. And these premier control systems are still charging, you know, the same thing they did 5 and 10 years ago. And, you know, when you're selling a $10,000, you know, room full of electronics, $1,000 or more for a control system, you know, probably made sense. Now, when you're looking at a solution, you know, a really competent solution for, you know, $2,000, it's really hard for the remote to be 50% of that cost.
Right. And I would hope that, I mean, like with your company, similar to another company I had on the show the other night, I think they're a good affirmation that, you know, home automation technology in the home and controls is more common than it used to be a few years ago. And now also that same affirmation that it doesn't have to be as expensive as it used to be, because now you're proving that very much with your company.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we started, our focus was really a lot on home theaters, you know, 5 years ago. Now you see the systems bleeding out of the home theater and getting into the entire home. So because the prices come down, you no longer have to do it in that kind of one really awesome theater. You can do it in bedrooms and living rooms and patios and everywhere else in the home. And in home automation, you know, it's not that those technologies didn't exist 10, 15 years ago. It's just that they were really for the 1%. And now when you can get into home automation, lighting, thermostats for a few $100 for devices, it really just opens up the door for the integrator, not just to be able to sell, but to be able to sell to a lot more people.
Right. So more people can just not have to go over to that, like I said, the 1% home and it's like, oh, that's really cool. I'll never, ever have anything like that. Can you tell me a little bit about the product and or products that OnControls offers? I mean, we're talking about home automation, and depending on the manufacturer that I'm speaking with or company, they may manufacture all the products or, you know, a few here and there, a few control solutions that they just integrate to third party. And can you just kind of give me an overview of what OnControls is offering to these integrators so that they can put this in other people's homes for a fraction of the price?
Sure. So we focus really on the control side of the equation. So we consider ourselves hardware agnostic, meaning that, you know, when you're looking for lighting or an automation or an AV system, you know, we let you work with your favorite brand. So, you know, if you like lighting from brand A, we integrate with them. We work with, you know, 30 plus different lighting systems, for example. So unlike where a lot of control companies have evolved into, which is they sell you, you know, matrix switchers for AV, and they sell you AV receivers and everything under their own brand, we like to focus just on the controls and let the integrator pick and choose their favorite brands and their favorite solutions at different price points. What we sell is basically a software license that lets you create a custom interface for controlling either the home or the business, and you get to build that up in our cloud environment and then deploy it on the customer's favorite devices, being their phones and tablets in their pockets.
So but then does that mean that it still requires someone else's components? I mean, in terms of like the actual control modules and such.
We have a hardware component that we sell. It's an inexpensive device. You know, it's under $150. Wow. It's something about the footprint of a business card and about an inch tall. And you hide that behind your electronics, and that gives you control over things like infrared or serial. But really, you know, the main solution is largely, you know, interfaced with, rather than big boxes and big controllers, we've moved all of the brains of the system into software. So those boxes become essentially invisible, and what's really doing the work is the software on the mobile devices.
But okay, so essentially that your processor, I guess, is what I would refer to that as, that you said that's an inch the size of a playing card. That's the processor? Yep.
It's basically a pass-through device. So it's not what typical systems do up until now is the processor is the brain. For us, those devices don't actually store commands or interfaces like they do with other systems. So for us, the processing is actually in software, and those hardware devices enable you to convert from Wi-Fi to things like infrared.
Okay. And then do you have other methods of control? Are we talking like, you know, Ethernet, 232, things like that? Yeah.
So absolutely. So, you know, infrared has been around for, you know, 60 years. We also allow you to control things like RS-232. So a lot of automation and a lot of higher end devices like still use serial. Mm-hmm. We also let you interface with things that are relay controlled if you're doing motorized screens or garage door openers. And most importantly and most recently are the wave of new devices that can be IP controlled. And for those, we don't need intermediate boxes. So unlike our competitors, where the brain is that controller that's really expensive and the software is sort of a client to that, because in our system the brain is in the software, if you have an all IP system, you don't need any hardware. So the cost of the system over time just keeps getting lower and lower, and we can interface with so many different things, whether they be TVs, projectors, AV receivers, Blu-ray players, satellite systems, all the way to home automation equipment that's all over IP.
Okay. And have you kind of like partnered with any specific manufacturers that like say, yeah, you know, this is OnControl certified switcher that we like to use, or, you know, we prefer using so-and-so's Blu-ray players, etc., things like that?
Absolutely. I mean, we have such a diverse group of devices, but there's always going to be products that integrate better, and we always list those and are always adding more. But we always offer our integration partners really a lot of choice. So if you're looking for a lighting system, we want to give you a choice between, you know, the most expensive and best performing to mid-range systems all the way to modest entry-level systems, so that, you know, we don't just partner with one company, we'll partner with as many of the companies in the space as possible and let you as the integrator pick whichever one is best for your installation.
You mean you don't want to block people out from using specific brands? Like a lot of people, you know, I know.
It's funny because almost overnight we were selling internationally. And even though our company is located in Detroit and relatively little of our business is in Michigan, I mean, the last 5 years, the Michigan economy has been, you know, struggling and is now, you know, picking up steam again.
Okay.
But we've been selling internationally. So we sell in almost 60 countries. And, you know, you may pick a country and say, well, this is the best lighting system in the U.S. You move out to Europe, it may not even exist there.
Right.
So having one solution really works well if you... you know, if you serve a small geographic area, but if you serve South America, North America, Europe, Australia, you really have to be a lot more flexible.
Yeah, I completely agree. Just in terms of other things that I've seen, let's just say, you know, big box brand A of controls. You know, we make our own lighting system, but we don't, you know, communicate with this other, you know, big box brand B, who also has their own lighting system, who's also very popular, or, you know, possibly even, you know, one of our main competitors. Although, and we all know for a fact, I mean, you're an automation system, why couldn't you just talk to that system? But, you know, it's kind of like locking them out. It's like, well, giving the integrator, like me, or these other people listening, the choice of, you know, okay, I want to use, you know, brand C or brand D or whoever, and I'll end up using On Control's overlay to control it all. At the end of the day, it's giving them the choice, but still not really locking anyone out or really kind of leaving a bad taste in their mouth. Because, you know, anytime you tell somebody you can't do it, they're going to want to do it anyway. And it really, it doesn't, it's kind of just an unfriendly method, I guess. You know, I think as a company, you'd want everyone to buy your product and all the range of products that you offer. But, you know, like you said, you know, you can't win them all. And if you lock people out, like you said, you go overseas, that doesn't even exist over there. So what do you do?
Well, and what we found is that the integrator can be most successful the more times he can say yes to a customer. You know, does your product work on an Android phone? Yes. You know, does it work on an iPad? Yes. You know, do you work with Lighting System X? Yes. So, you know, when an integrator is at a customer location, you know, maybe you have some projects that are kind of a clean slate. Customer comes in with a ridiculous budget and you can just do whatever you want, however you want, and just tailor this amazingly perfect solution for them. And it's, they'll buy one of everything from you.
Mm-hmm.
But what most often happens is somebody says, well, I want you to come in and do my theater, but I'm bringing my old TV and the house already had lighting and I want you to add thermostat to it. So as an integrator, you know, saying, well, I don't work with brand X, you may lose the job completely on something that you didn't even sell.
Right.
So what we found is that this approach, yeah, it makes it more difficult because we end up supporting 30, 40 lighting systems alone.
Mm-hmm.
But what it really helps is our partners to be able to win more projects and to be able to do more within those projects.
Right. But then you as a company, truly, like you mentioned earlier, you really never are sleeping because you have so many products that are out there and one that's probably born like every minute.
Every minute.
Yeah. I truly love the idea that you are supporting all these companies because... you should give them the choice, right? Like you said, you know, I've had that same thing. Oh, I don't work on product X from so-and-so. And that's, you know, someone else down the road and they do that. And so most likely they're going to, okay, well, I'm just going to call them and they'll do it.
Exactly. And what we found is, you know, especially, I think there's sort of the theory of integration and then sort of the reality of integration. And I think in theory, you want to sell the customer everything from scratch and you'll get them, you know, this perfect solution. But the reality is you get on site and they start handing you stuff that they have maybe from their previous home or things that are still working and no one is about to throw a working TV. So, you know, can you imagine like, well, we only sell Samsung TVs, so we won't integrate with a Toshiba or an LG. You know, that just wouldn't happen. So just the same as you would do that in AV, we want to give them those options, but extend that all the way to things like automation as well.
Right. Yeah, that's I really like that and appreciate that the companies have already thought of this. You know, I mean, obviously it sounds like you guys have come from, I mean, as you mentioned, you designed for your own home theater and then kind of like grew outside of the theater into other areas and then said, you know, okay, well, there's all these other, you know, lighting companies, systems out there, and some that don't exist overseas, so we really need to try and support as much as possible because, you know, try and be a good fit for wherever we can and then give them the choice versus lose that job when it was perfectly capable in just working with that brand.
Exactly. And, you know, and it's a win for everybody this way. You know, the integrator can make money, you know, he gets to sell the things that he can sell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and what we really found is by being able to be flexible both for the customer and for the integrator, you know, the other thing is the systems evolve. And I think a lot of control companies and control products are sold for the first day, kind of installation day number one. And there's obviously a lot of focus and a system needs to look good and work well and be robust. But if you think about how long a system is going to be in the home for automation and control, you know, you're looking at 5-6 years on average. And just think about in your life, what's going to change? You know, are you going to get married? Are you going to have kids? Are your in-laws going to be over more? And, you know, how will that impact the system? You know, what channels will get added to your, you know, TV lineup? What new sources, you know, did Netflix, you know, are you going to listen to Pandora and so on? So as you think about a system, being locked down to specific things, you know, may seem like a good idea today, but if you look at just the last 5 years in our industry and you see this explosion of change, I think you realize that it's just no way to be scalable solution and be there with your customer, you know, 5 years from now, 6 years from now, and so on.
Right. Man, you guys, I mean, you really have thought of a lot, and I really dig that because, I mean, with technology, as we mentioned, you put up a TV today, and next year it could be completely obsolete altogether. And you just spent, you know, I can imagine a pretty good amount, depending on the device size and what the, you know, what's built inside of it. And then, you know, for support, it's like, oh, well, you know, it's completely dated anyway. So things change so much. And just the idea, like you said, you know, well, we should try and be open to, you know, work with, you know, as many of these devices, companies, brands as possible is a very smart move on your part. And it sounds like you said, you know, within, you know, almost from launch that you were almost international, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So can you tell me how long the company has been in business for?
Company started about 5 years ago, had the idea of using the iPhone. At the time, it was really, you know, it was way before the iPad was launched and Android really wasn't on the scene. And it was the idea of using my iPhone to control my, basically my theater.
Okay.
And started it basically right after the first app came out. And kind of got the idea and partnered with my now partner and CTO, Victor. And, you know, I had the idea and he had the skill to actually make it work. And that's how we started.
That's great. But you said, but since then, right? Like, so it started with you want to control your theater. And I have yep. this great device in my pocket. How do I make it control these things in my theater? And then since then, you obviously created the solution. And then said, okay, and then once, and then this kind of always happens, you give someone a taste, okay, you know, before, you know, and they're like, well, why would I ever want to control that? But then you let them kind of live with it or play with it or use it. They get the taste of for what automation is or controls is. And then they're like, well, why couldn't I just do, you know, is it possible to do that out of in this room or out in this room or even outside of my home? And then, you know, their brain kind of expands and you see all these possibilities of what's possible. And obviously, and that's kind of where I think the rest of your company went from there is, you know, why don't we just do full scale controls?
You're absolutely right. And you're sort of touching on the lineage of, you know, this, you know, hobby business, whatever you want to call it, becomes addicted. You show the customer that he can control his lights. The next thing he's asking for is thermostats. You give him thermostat control. He'll ask for locks. You give him locks. He says, great, can I do it from my office? You know, and it becomes, you know, you permeate through the customer's, you know, entire home experience. And, you know, what we find is that the solution becomes people's, you know, almost their command and control center for their physical world in their home or business. So it's really how they interface with those devices. The difference is, you know, 5 years ago when we started this, the idea of control from your phone or tablet was kind of a novelty. I mean, you sort of had to tell people and show them, like, this could work and this could be really cool and here are the advantages. Today, a customer walks into your showroom. If you sell them a lighting system that can't be controlled from the phone, I don't know that you would get that sale.
Right.
So, you know, the shift in the industry has been so quick that we went from selling systems, you know, with Artist 232 and IR, and all of a sudden people are not just expecting it, but demanding those capabilities from their new automation and control systems.
Right. The knowledge that's been put out there in the last few years, I think, like you said, I think a lot of it, like you said, you know, with just based on the iPhone alone, right? When, you know, that got to be, I mean, as huge as it is today, you know, just the idea that started with your company, okay, well, why can I just control this room with this phone, and let's try and make something, and then that happened, and then why not create control to this room, why not expand to a full scale? That kind of idea has grown to, and spread, obviously, across, well, the world, I think, at this point, and like you said, it very much is a demand, right? So, like, you know, if I can't control something from my phone, why even bother? I mean, like, I don't want to... I don't know... I don't know if I've seen a system that doesn't have that these days, right?
Yeah, like, and I doubt, you know, if there's anything legacy, I doubt you would see a new system being built today, being engineered today, that doesn't have that. It would just seem like it's missing.
Right. And be like, well, where's the remote control? And you're like, what do you mean? I'm like, my iPhone, why can't I do that with this? I mean, that's always a seller. Like, and it's kind of a reassurance. And in the last few years, it's kind of like you said, you know, Android really wasn't quite there yet. And it had always been, well, iPhone, I can, there's an app for that. And I can do it this way. And Android has come a long way. And now I think the main two, you know, it's, well, we have an iOS app and we have an Android app. Which kind of leads me into my next part of the question. Will you be developing like a Windows Phone app, or is that something you don't think that is quite ready or may be around for something like that?
We actually, Microsoft has an office in our building and we talk to them. We're always evaluating platforms. You know, when we started, this will date us a little bit. Palm was the second platform to come out after the iPhone, and it looked really encouraging. Because our tool is sort of added on top of a phone, we just look for a certain level in the market before it makes sense for us to support it. Mm-hmm. Because unlike the push to make a really great, I don't know, video game app, which you sort of develop once and then you just leave it out there, because we're constantly adding new systems and new capabilities, you know, we take it very seriously. If we add a platform, it's forever. You know, we don't want to leave a platform behind. So it's enough of a challenge to build for two platforms. So adding a third is something we're always looking at, but we take it seriously. And right now, the market is such that Windows phones just aren't yet, you know, have enough penetration, you know, for us to jump on that. But it's not because of technology. They're great phones. We've got a few of them in the office, and guys like them. It's just looking for the market to really, you know, help us to determine when is the right time.
So we probably won't ever see a BlackBerry app.
You know, 3 years ago, we had requests for those. I can tell you honestly, we haven't heard much in the last year.
I'm sure you did a few years back. I think everyone's like, what about BlackBerry? It's coming back. I'm like, it's not coming back very far, but it is coming back, or it was.
But I think there's another trend that, you know, you highlighted, you know, some of the reasons why people like, you know, the iPhone and the Android. But one of the things that we saw over time is, if you think about when we released our first product, you, in most families, you had one smartphone. You know, it was probably an iPhone at the time, 4 or 5 years ago.
Sure.
Today, so the concept was, and the way most control systems were sold, doesn't matter if it was an Amex or Crestron, you know, really high end, all the way down to, you know, the most inexpensive, you know, I don't know, Harmony. It was really sold for the room. So, you know, you'd interview your customer, figure out what gear they have in their living room, and you'd program up the remote and then put it in a coffee table. And so that's sort of how the system was built, is, you know, we'd let you create your interface on the phone, and there it was. And over time, we started seeing customers coming with their second phone, and the kids have a phone, and iPads were really cool, but, you know, it was $500, and maybe the customer had one. And now with things like Android and the iPad minis and others, you know, you're now seeing $100, $200 tablets becoming the norm. So what we've seen our customers and our integrators do is create a solution where you don't just have to design one remote for everybody. You can actually create a new model, which is a remote per person. So you can have an interface on your phone with maybe your favorite sports teams as a skin and your favorite channels, you know, as your favorites and things like that, while your wife can have a very different looking interface for the exact same room. So what you have is, instead of building five remotes for the five rooms you want to control, you're actually building multiple remotes, but you're doing it per person. So we've seen that trend really catch on, and it's something that, you know, you really can only do with a software-based solution.
I'm going to stop you right there, because that's going to lead me right into my next question with the software and the looks there. Again, I would always like to thank my sponsor, Ingram Micro, the world's largest technology distributor delivering flexible multi-chain supply chain solutions and more. Go over to ingrammicro.com. Check out, check out any of their products. I guarantee you probably have a few of them, and if you don't, just keep on looking. Go to ingrammicro.com. In terms of looks, you're talking about giving, you know, like, you know, his, hers, you know, the kid, Johnny and Lisa get one, and then, you know, Bobby gets another. But they can all be different, but essentially by doing that, it's the same type of control, they're just different looks, is what you're saying?
It can be different looks, it can be different macros, it can be different capabilities. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. My wife and I will use the theater, and it's got the same gear, but we can have the interface look different. But we also tend to use the theater differently. And I think that's the area where the integrator really shines, because, you know, as a great integrator, what you're doing is tying in a lot of different devices, and you're bringing in your expertise, and you're interviewing the customer, and what you're creating for them is a unique experience. And if you can deliver an experience for the husband that's different for the wife based on their needs, you can really create something special. So in our case, you know, I listen to a lot of high-res music, and my wife doesn't. So her system on her phone doesn't even show some of the interfaces and some of the capabilities of the system, just because she uses it differently. For her, she's more into streaming music, and, you know, we'll both have, you know, the satellite and Blu-ray player. So what you've created is really an interface that's based on the needs of the person. And that's really where we see integrators, you know, shining, by being able to offer exactly what the customer is looking for.
Let's see. Now let me talk about this. So then we can very much custom build interfaces per device, whether that's Android or iOS, and in different skins, or do you get like a basic set of skins and kind of just work off of that?
So we've given you multiple templates, four or five different templates. We also give you know, vast image libraries to augment the existing skins. But we also give you the ability to create your own graphics. So we've had integrators who literally created, not just swapping out backgrounds, but have gone and created a complete interface from scratch.
Okay.
So what you've got is, you know, this flexibility to do something really quick and simple using our templates, and doing simple tweaks like a background or bringing in customer images, all the way to doing ground up work where it's a completely unique and, you know, tailored solution for the customer.
Now, because in my old company, we built several different graphic user interfaces, and just because, you know, the client didn't want the out of the box one, and they want it very much custom tailored to them, and they kind of liked the theme, and we kind of built, you know, buttons based on the layout that we thought worked well for the last few years, and just different flow items. And so, but we had to create a lot of like the icons and buttons and things like that. So, I mean, I understand that you can do that with your system. But what if an integrator, right, isn't savvy enough? Is that something that OnControls offers? Like, you know, we want, you know, we're building, you know, this is the project, this is what we're looking for, this is the kind of the layout. Can you build us one that's not on, you know, currently offered on your site from the current, you know, ones that you offer?
So we focus on, you know, giving you the tools and teaching you how to use them. Mm-hmm. If you find that you're using one of our templates and you're missing a graphic or two, like a device that we don't have, or, you know, a new a new interface button that you want to match something that you have, we'll certainly add that to the library for you. But if you're looking for help and you're looking to, you know, create something new, what we've actually done is hook integrators up with other integrators who focus on that as work. Yep. And just play matchmaker and say, you know, you have a need for this project. This is an integrator who can be in another part of the country or the world who does this and has done it well and is happy to help you. Mm-hmm. And you're out there integrating, they're out and they can be, you know, helping you with a specific need that you may have.
No, that's great. I like the idea that you're very much promoting others that you can help and then successfully launch your products and then give them a good end-all solution. So being started in home theater and then expanding outers of the home, is OnControls more focused towards home automation? Or is there a commercial side as well that it does well in? Or have you not expanded to that reach yet? Or industrial even, things like that? For I do a lot of wineries where I live.
Even though residential is probably our biggest segment, our fastest growing segment has been in commercial. One of the things that we've been really fortunate is we've got some amazing customers, and what they found is because the system is so flexible and so customizable, things that tend to be relatively, you know, confined in a home, like, you know, you don't need, you know, you can create, for example, templates or wizards for a simple living room setup or a simple home theater. But when you get into a sports bar with 50 TVs and a matrix switcher and 17 different cable boxes and satellite boxes, there's no wizard on the planet that will create that interface for you. So you really need very, very flexible tools to do that. And because our software is so flexible, we've been used in everything from, you know, NASCAR teams to, you know, Fortune 500 companies, all the way to casinos and things like that. So we've seen commercial projects be from very modest conference rooms, which are very simple, all the way to larger projects where you have 200 plus TVs and all of the equipment controlling them and interfacing them, all being controlled from something like an iPad.
Very, very interesting. I'd like to see where you guys kind of expand to in the next year or two. It's, I mean, it sounds like from day one, you've already just kind of like gone wild with the company.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think one of the really interesting things in terms of the commercial market is it's not that it's been underserved. I mean, there's some fantastic competitors in that space. But when you're showing people a commercial solution at the price points that we're at, in many cases, what we found is the money that the customer is saving, they just put into the other 14 conference rooms that they have. So they'll initially come to an integrator and say, you know, I've got a need for three rooms. The integrator will do it or quote it. And the money that they save, they don't just take, they just go back and do the other rooms that they just didn't think they could afford with previous budgets. So it's been absolutely explosive for a lot of our integrators because, you know, at the price point and the flexibility, they're able to go and win projects where, you know, they're literally coming in at 60% cheaper than competitive systems.
Hmm. I like that idea. Saving time and money. And that's what I always say with automation is when done right, the system itself basically saves you time, energy, and ultimately money. And then the way it's costing you less out the gate, you're already saving money before it's implementing and then eventually saving you money towards the end.
Absolutely.
Do you have like reps for the area, or people just go direct, or is this like a distribution thing, or what's the business model? How's that work?
We have it all. We've got local reps spreading the word. We work with distributors both in the U.S. and outside, and we work with dealers direct. So depending on the customer's needs, there's either somebody local or, you know, we can help them directly depending on what they're looking for and what their needs are. We take on almost all of the training needs. So we just recently launched our new online university. We have 7-day a week support for our integrators. We also have what we call our concierge service. So, you know, as an integrator, it doesn't matter how easy a product may be. When you're that guy and it's your first or second time working with a new product, no matter what it is, and you're at a customer site and, you know, something doesn't go the way you expected, mm-hmm. it's always pressure, and we always want to be very mindful of that guy, and we want him to have that great experience. So what we've created is a form for the integrator to fill out, and you're going to tell us, hey, I'm going to be at this home and on Tuesday night at 6 p.m., and I'm going to install, you know, this TV from that brand, and I'm going to control it with IR, and I'm going to use this receiver with IP, and so on. And you'll list out everything you're going to do. And if you don't run into any trouble, nothing happened. But if you do, you have somebody that you can call directly or email, and not only are they going to be ready to answer you beyond the normal work hours, but more importantly, they already got the documentation and the things specifically ready for your project. So if you're calling with an issue on a specific lighting system, you're going to be talking to somebody who actually knows that lighting system and isn't fumbling around trying to figure it out or Google it. So we found that that service helping the integrator be successful in his first couple of projects is something that's been amazing. Because once you make money and once you're successful in those first two, you're hooked. From that point on, you know, we have a customer for life.
Yeah, that's great. Customer support is always very important. It sounds like you guys are very much on top of that.
Absolutely.
let me talk to you about, okay, so there's always comes a time when, you know, like I said, the new product comes and hits the market and there's no drivers currently available for it. And I mean, unless, you know, you knew that this product was going to be so huge and already built a way to communicate to it, you know, just because you know, heard a big buzz and so-and-so was coming out with whatever, there wouldn't be no driver for it. So, and it might not be a big enough demand, or, you know, maybe it's some product that's kind of cool and it's a niche market and, you know, it really, just like we talked about with, like, the Microsoft, right, the Windows phones, you know, there isn't an app yet because there really isn't, like, that high of a demand for them yet, though. I do see, you know, more and more people having them kind of as an alternative. Maybe they were just tired of, you know, iOS for a while, and they were tired with Android, and this kind of newer solution kind of came along, getting kicked BlackBerry out of the way or whatever, and now this looks cool, maybe I'll try that. It doesn't exist, is my point. If we need a driver, is that another solution or another thing that OnControls can provide, or is that another in terms where this integrator offers these services for writing drivers, etc., like kind of like a Extra Vegetables or whoever would write a driver, and you can just connect, you know, this integrator with that company, and they'll work with you to build it what you need.
So, great point. We're always, you know, there's never enough devices in a system because, as you said, something new always comes out. Right. Now, one of the things that works really well for us is, you know, in the few short years we've been in business, we've moved from chasing manufacturers to get their devices and protocols and hardware in our labs for testing. Now we work with manufacturers ahead of when their products get launched. So, you know, Lutron is launching a new lighting system early this month. We were, you know, part of beta testing and working with them to make sure that that's going to be available to our integrators, you know, early on. But that's not always the case. So one of the things that we do is, number one, let's take a simple device. You know, there's a new TV and nobody else has seen it. You're the first guy. First of all, we let you learn IR codes in all of our devices. So you can grab the remote, learn your code. You can also bring in, you know, CCF files. So if you have published codes, you can bring those in. You can also look at our community. So maybe you're not the first one. Maybe somebody else has done it and they've shared it. So you can search for those. And we allow you to do that not only for infrared, we allow you to do that for serial, both single way and two way serial, as well as IP commands. Again, one way or two way. So we try to give the integrator as many tools as possible. Now, what can happen is maybe some integrators are more tech savvy and are more comfortable writing, you know, hex serial commands than others. So a lot of times an integrator will reach out and say, you know, I'm adding a new matrix switch. I'm not sure. I don't necessarily have the documentation. I'm going to do a project with it. Can you help us? Mm-hmm. We'll get in touch with, you know, they'll get in touch with us. We'll talk to the manufacturer if we don't already have it and get that added for them. There's no charge for that. We just get it into the system. They can help us to test, or we test it in our lab. And then that's then shared out with everyone in the community. So every integrator from that point on has access to those tools.
Wow, I've asked that same question with other companies, and it's kind of been like, well, you know, we'll try, and, you know, unless Or so, more often than not, it's kind of like, well, unless there's really kind of a big demand, you know, we can put a request in and, you know, hopefully we'll get it back. And but I mean, your whole approach to this, I mean, to everything I've asked for, I feel like you've already you knew all the questions I was going to ask, and you were very, very ready for them.
Well, you know, the thing is, and I think this is where, you know, our partners, our integrators, you know, our really partners that we work with, when they work with us, they sense it and they realize it. And over time, they see more and more of it is, you know, because we started this business and are doing this business for ourselves first and our friends second and our partners and our families, then, you know what the issues are because you face those issues. We've been those guys who were struggling with a new product and we didn't know what to do. And nobody wants to feel, you know, inadequate in front of a customer who's maybe breathing down your neck. You want to be able to pick up the phone. And there's nothing more frustrating than picking up the phone and reaching a guy who's clueless.
Right.
So you want to reach a phone and you want a guy who knows what he's talking about and, more importantly, knows what you're specifically talking about. So all of those things, you know, new devices, those are all issues that we've all faced. And what we've been trying to do is really to bring a lot of the disciplines from the IT world, where, you know, my previous business was, and bring in a lot of those things like cloud, like mobile, and faster technologies so that we can serve our customers and our partners in a better way using those technologies.
The best answer ever. That's so awesome. So everyone, if you're listening now, and you're looking for a new control system, you're looking to save some money and confidently get the support you need, definitely check out On Controls. I mentioned it before. No, I didn't. But go to www.oncontrols.com. Check them out. Put an inquiry in. See what how easy it is. How much support you're getting if you're not already getting that support elsewhere. I think it's going to be a great solution for you. And in terms of, like, you know, getting those jobs, that is even better. Saving money, saving your client money, and repeat work. And as as we mentioned earlier, at a fraction of the price, which, you know, it doesn't have to be for the 1% anymore. This is very much, technology and automation in general is very much in demand these days. And I don't think I've run into a person yet who doesn't have a smartphone in their pocket, except for my mom recently, and I just basically bought her an iPhone and said, here, just use this, please. And now she won't put it down. So now I feel like that was a bad idea. But everyone I know, you have a smartphone and the control system, apps, all this stuff is very much in command, in demand, and where you go. And to have a control system that's more affordable for everybody is very much, I think, the idea of where automation is headed to. And again, your company is providing those solutions and have been for the last 5 to 6 years.
Absolutely.
Let me talk a little bit more about what I always refer to as, like, entry level kind of, like, tech automation in the home. Like, I'm sure you're all familiar with this. You've heard of Nest. You know, Google bought them a while ago. So, smart thermostat, smart smoke aux sensors. They most recently acquired Dropcam, who will be on my show on Sunday. So, Google's on the show on Sunday. Other things like Philips Hue, the smart bulbs, all these things are controlled with your smartphone. I see people buying these things. They put them in the home, and then they have... Okay, so the problem with that, though, is that you have an app for each one. And that's great. Some people will say, well, I have one device, and, you know, that really is my universal remote. But the problem with that, though, is that you have multiple apps that you have to go in and out of to control all of them. So... Yeah, it takes a little bit of time. It's not really a universal remote, although it does store all that information. Have any of your, and this is my question for you, Itai, is have any of your integrators have integrated into these devices or these types of devices yet? Or have there been requests to do those things yet?
Absolutely. I think the first request for a Nest integration came from my wife. So you can imagine that went right to the top of our list.
Sure, right?
You know, But absolutely, Nest, Philips Hue, those are all systems that, you know, we either already have support for or going to have support for, you know, very, very shortly, for all those reasons. And you mentioned a good point. You know, you can have a device like your phone with half a dozen apps. To me, having half a dozen apps is the same as having half a dozen remotes on my coffee table. Yeah. It's not an integrated solution. Each interface is a little different. You have to teach the customer, the husband, the wife, the kids, the in-laws, the babysitter,
right,
you know, what six apps mean. And there really is no integration between them. And to me, as an integrator, you don't just throw a components into a room. What your role is really to create this seamless experience. And that can only be done with one unified interface to really create that custom experience for that customer.
Exactly. And I've kind of been having this argument back and forth with some friends online over the coming months. And their whole thing was, you know, like, oh, but I already have all these apps. I'm like, no, it's not the same, though. It's so much different. You know, like, for some people, yes. Like, for my mother, she would just freak. And then, like I said, to teach that to someone else's mother, then, like I said, the children, who may be a bit more savvy on certain things, and then the babysitter, different people, someone just coming in to visit, it's a lot of this extra added time. Instead of having one app, essentially, or one control, like you'd mentioned, instead of having multiple remotes, like, well, which one is the TV, and which one does this, and which one does that? Albeit, the apps are a bit more visual than just a handheld remote, there still is a bit of a learning curve in getting in and out and finding those idiosyncrasies that really tie these devices and that seamless spirits together. So, unless it's, I mean, in this case, you know, on controls, that isn't automation. It's, like you said, just having multiple remotes and trying to figure it all out.
One of the things that I always think is funny is people are, you hear the argument, well, it came with a free app. Hmm. And I always remind people, you haven't bought a piece of electronics or sold a piece of electronics, whether it be a TV, a receiver, a soundbar, a Blu-ray player, that didn't come with a free remote. You know, and the universal control and automation systems have been in business for 40 years, integrating those solutions into one better system, not because we didn't have a cheaper or free alternative, but because customers were demanding better and more seamless experience. So to me, having the free apps that came with your Nest isn't necessarily the answer. It's about tying my Nest with my lighting system and with my locks and with my garage door and with my audio video.
Right. Okay, so that also being said, does OnControls work well with Sonos? This was another company that most people, I'm sure, are familiar with, and some of you aren't familiar. Sonos is a very popular wireless of sorts, if you will. Not completely wireless. Wireless, I'm drawing a blank here. Wireless distributed audio system. Wow, Sonos, don't get mad that I said that. I couldn't forget. Do you guys work well with that? I know some companies don't really talk to Sonos well. Some do. Some get, you know, third-party drivers to communicate with the Sonos system or something like that.
We have what I would consider entry-level Sonos integration, so we can talk to multiple Sonos boxes and throughout the home, mm-hmm. With access to the local media.
Okay.
So, you know, for customers who are playing, you know, high-res and audio throughout the home, off of their computer. What we're now working on is expanding and enhancing that to include more of the streaming libraries. And Sonos is one of the popular systems. There's others. You know, we also have a lot of deep integration with things like iTunes.
Yeah.
So a lot of customers, you know, because they have iPhones or iPads, they may have their music in a computer and use maybe an Apple TV in a room or, you know, a B&W box, you know, boombox, and, you know, other AirPlay devices. So it's the same thing we have, where you can see cover art and integrate all those things into a customer system.
So it does pull the metadata pretty well then.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
cover art.
Yeah,
being able to filter, being able to see all those things. Absolutely.
Yeah, that, for those of you who aren't familiar with metadata, I mean, like I said, the cover art, you know, who's playing what, and when you have a system that doesn't show that and it just plays, it's very frustrating. Yes, you can hear who's playing, but to be able to look down and see, okay, you know, this is so-and-so, I can just skip to the next one and see what's there, is great. And as you're skipping and you don't see the information, it's very frustrating. You have to just kind of sit and wait and load. Yeah, it's only a few seconds, but that stuff's very important. So no, that's great. I really, really like all this stuff. Where do you see On Controls going in the next 5 years?
We certainly are expanding in a big way into commercial systems.
Okay.
More into home automation. You know, you mentioned Nest, Dropcam, things like that, where we're seeing systems becoming cheaper and cheaper. You know, it used to be that a smart light switch just a handful of years ago was $200 a switch.
Yeah.
Now we're seeing them at $50 and $35 a switch. And all the predictions are showing that is, you know, that trend is only going to increase. So obviously staying on top of those capabilities. But I'm getting really excited about not just controlling more things, but also about changing the way you control those things. So we've been experimenting with things like voice controls, things like geolocation, so you can walk into a room while your phone is in your pocket, and it knows the difference between your bedroom and your living room. And then based on different rules that you can create, can maybe turn on the lights if it's after sunset, and turn on the TV after 8 p.m. if that's what you do. Things like wearables, where now smart watches are becoming part of how people are interacting with the system. You know, we had one of our customers who rooted their smartwatch a few months ago and put on the app and was able to control their lights and TV from a smartwatch. So, you know, in 5 years, I sort of, you know, it's amazing. I mean, I wouldn't have thought watches, you know, would have been part of our world just a couple of years ago, and voice control just a couple of years ago.
Right.
Now we're seeing it really become part of the modern system.
I'm glad you brought up wearables. I have a pair of Google Glass that I've had since they did like their beta testing, which they're still doing. What do they call the Explorer program? But the watches, I think, is a bit more in terms of what will be, and probably more widely accepted once Apple makes their iWatch or whatever they want to call it, for people to have. And it's still kind of small, but you can still fit a few things on there. And then the voice control communication, I think those two things might grow here pretty fast in terms of controls, not just as a common interface for people to have for, you know, media, but like you said, for control of the home. So as devices get cheaper, as like you said, you know, smart switch $200, now we're talking $50, $35, all these devices, iPads getting cheaper, tablets, phones getting cheaper, and everyone has one, the convenience in, of having, you know, like a little smartwatch just strapped to your wrist and a quick you know, tap, or just even saying, you know, okay, turn my home theater on or whatever, you know, play Batman, is going to be a bit more common, just like everyone has a smart device in their pocket already.
Absolutely. And, you know, I feel the same way. You know, Google Glass is very interesting, you know, having played with it and tested it. But I think wearables in terms of watches and things like that are going to be, you know, explosive because, you know, you may walk up to your front door and, you know, have a pop-up that just shows your lock, and you can unlock it with a single swipe. Mm-hmm. You know, so it wouldn't necessarily replace your full-featured interface on a tablet, but, you know, in a home theater. But it can certainly be very useful if you walk into your bedroom and you can, you know, just get a little notification because it knows you're in the bedroom and can let you turn on the light. So, you know, one of the things that's always a challenge as we've seen interfaces get bigger in terms of going from phones to tablets and now getting smaller in terms of wearables is not trying to create a one-size-fits-all and fit, you know, 100 buttons onto a page,
right,
but really try to be aware of what the customer is doing, how he's trying to do it, and giving them a way to do it in a more efficient manner.
That's a great point. I'll bring this up with Android Android Wear, right, that the Android portion for the wearables. You know, it's just a simple interface for that, all the, you know, that support, you know, your wearable watches from Android. that's what lives there, right? So if, let's just start with them because I don't have an example for iOS yet. But with them, like you said, you wouldn't necessarily put your full-scale system on your wrist. It would just be pages upon pages upon pages based on how many things in the house you're you're controlling. So there, we're talking about like swipe after swipe after swipe after find just to find that one light switch or something like that. That or you have like too many things overlapping and it's just really cluttered. And either way, it's going to be really confusing. So things with Android that you can do, and I do on my phone now, is that like we talked about geolocation. So my phone currently does that, right? It's not for a control system yet, but this is where I would like to see the control portion go. It's based on where I am, time of day. So it knows when I'm at home. It knows when I'm at work because it's a geotag. It knows when I'm in the car because the the tracker in my phone and I'm moving. And it knows what time of day that I use certain apps the most. So when I go to turn my phone on, it has a certain portion of apps that I use at those places right on my home screen. I don't even have to unlock it. And if I want to get to those apps, I can just swipe that specific one app of the, let's say, six in this case, on my phone that I'm there. So take that concept and put that on a wearable. So when you get home, for example, it knows your home. Geotag, it knows Johnny's at home. And the first thing I'll probably want to do is what? Unlock my door. So there should be, you know, an app to or a swipe that connected to my door locks, you know, whether that's Schlage or whoever. That, you know, that could be a light thing. It could be other things, but you wouldn't have everything, you know, listed on your screen. It would be just way too confusing.
Absolutely. And by the way, if you're coming home during the day, it should unlock the door. If you're coming home at night, it should unlock the door and turn on the lights inside. So
right.
it should be aware of, you know, not just what's going on with you and not just location, but really the context where those two things intersect.
Yeah. Man, this is I'm really glad that you took the time to talk to me today. I'm excited about your company. I'd love to learn more. For those of the people out there who aren't currently on Controls Dealers, what's the best way for them to either contact you or the company to inquire more?
Easiest place to start out is our website, www.oncontrols.com, and you can learn more about us. And then when you're ready, just click on Become a Dealer, and somebody will contact you within a day and start the conversation and figure out how we can help you.
Perfect. For everyone else that may be on social media like myself, I tend to say things on the internet just like I'm doing now. You can go to their Facebook page and learn a little bit more and see some of the implementation that they've done with it, these systems. Facebook.com/OnControls. If Twitter still exists tomorrow, it's OnControls, @OnControls. Very simple. If you want to tell me that I am awesome, that's great. If you want to tell me that I suck, that's great too. My Twitter account is @JMOTA3, @JMOTA, 3. I'm on Facebook, Pinterest, all these other things. Wherever, you can just Google me. I'll be happy to reach out. If you want to email me for a bit more contact, it's Johnny, JOHNNYMOTA, 3, @gmail.com. No spam, please. No spam. Itai, I am very enlightened. I really dig your guys' product, and I would love to try and find a place out here where I can go check it out. I'm sure there's plenty of dealers in my area, but do you guys have like showrooms throughout the United States where people can like I know you guys are in Michigan, but do you have something on the West Coast people can kind of go like an experience center?
No, not right now, but we have dealers all over the U.S. and worldwide, so okay. We can connect you. Excuse me. We can connect you and anybody else with finding a dealer, mm-hmm. and being able to, you know, take them to the right place and get them connected with the right people.
Well, again, I have a few more questions, but I think I want to save them, and I'd like to invite you back to be on the show either later towards the end of the year or maybe like just after CES, and we'll see if where you guys are in terms of the company, where you've expanded to, because it sounds like every minute that I'm away from you guys, you're just going to explode even farther and into bigger areas.
Yeah, it sure feels that way on this end.
Okay, well, again, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. And I would like to have you back on the show if you're willing to do that.
It would be my pleasure.
Well, everyone, this has been another episode of AV Insider. Very informative. On Controls, Itai, thank you again for your time. And remember, everybody, technology and automation is becoming vastly more available, affordable, and it's very much in demand. My name's Johnny. This has been AV Insider. I will catch you very soon.